Good evening, everyone, and Om Shanti, and good evening to everyone who is watching on the webcast and listening. It's a lovely scene from this end because I was sitting at the front and I didn't know what it looked like at the back. So very warm welcome to all of us, including myself, including Sister Jayanti and Didi. Okay, so I was just saying that it's Christmas Eve and it's becoming quiet even outside. I had to walk here because the buses have started slowing down. So it was quite an hectic and lovely experience because I could feel the cool air on my face. I could breathe. I was sweating a bit, but I've cooled down now, so that's nice. So it's a real privilege to be able to be sitting here with a view to starting this conversation with Didi and Gentben. And it's really nice to see you all because it looks as if it's a lovely, cozy atmosphere. Cozy atmosphere, which is really what people tried to create around Christmas time, isn't it? People want to spend time together either within the context of a family or perhaps with loved ones. And so this is what we're doing too. So this topic of this evening's conversation is really very much about the spiritual and religious significance of Christmas and the strap line to that, in order not to make it too wide, is how do we as a spiritual family impact the world? How do we as a spiritual family impact the world? The family being the main emphasis within how we are meeting at Christmas, not just us as a spiritual family, but other families. So for me, the main feature of this spiritual and religious significance of Christmas is really the expansion of the light, our inner light, the expansion of our inner light, which we express through being happy, happiness. And some people, you know, we express our happiness according to our level of consciousness, our level of awareness. So yesterday I was actually going home from class and noticed whilst I was passing the butchers that the queues stretched all the way around the corner. There may have been about 50 people waiting to purchase meat. So that's another way of expressing happiness, which is very much different to us. So really, people, you know, do what they need to do in order to touch base with that happiness inside of them. So just really focusing on the lights of the Christmas tree. So the lights on the Christmas tree, they are really symbolic of the inverted tree of souls. They are symbolic of the inverted tree of souls in Paramdham. And in fact, I really love this this image, this picture. I've always loved it because it's so beautiful and it's so different to anything else that one can relate to at this level. When I first took the course and saw it, I was just so excited. It's just beautiful and it's very, very deep. For me, it has a very, very deep meaning connected to it. And in every culture the world over, the idea of the Kalpa tree is replicated to construct the identity and the family lineages and, you know, ancestry within those cultures. And for me, there is a direct connection between the Christmas tree and where we began as a spiritual family in the confluence age. And so what is the aim of this dialogue this evening? Yes, I talked about the fact that we want to talk about the spiritual and religious significance of the of Christmas, but also what I want us to do is to spend this evening as a family really acknowledging and celebrating our part as the first family, and how, as a spiritual family, we really impact the world at large, and to look at how, to what extent we're doing that, and how we can improve in doing so. So, I've just got some notes here, and I don't want to miss anything, you see, because I want to make sure that I'm saying all the things we need to say, though, so that when we start talking, we're touching on all those important things. So the concept of the family began with the number one parent, the number one subtle parent, which is Shiv Baba. And Shiv Baba gave birth to Brahma Baba, and Brahma Baba gave birth in terms of us being the mouse-born creation. And from that, you have two children being born at the beginning of time. And those two children became adults, and they started the family that we are building now in our consciousness. So, and as such, it's what is our responsibility as ancestor souls in really taking the lead and being the change that we are hoping to see in the world. We are the roots of the human world tree. We are the microcosm that expands into the macrocosm. And whatever we do, the rest of humanity does. Wherever we go, the rest of humanity follows. We took them away from God, and it's now time for us to take them back to God. And really, that's deep. And actually, I need to be part of a family in order to learn how to do this, because it's a big responsibility. We are in a situation where the world, in terms of how it is occurring, is spiraling out of control. And we need to be aware of that. We set the scene because we actually set the scene for the social institution, for the family as a social institution within the world. The family is a social institution. We started that. So we are the groundbreakers. We are the ones who cast the die. We are the ones who make up the roots of the tree of 8.5 billion souls, the ancestor souls we are. Somehow it feels for me that there's something that we need, something else that we have to do that we are not currently doing to speed up the shift in our own transformation and the shift in world transformation. So now, having introduced the topic, I have some questions for all of us to explore. And so the conversation isn't just between myself and Gent Ben and Didi. It's for you to kind of pick up on some of what we've said or we're saying, and be able to participate as well. And if you do ask any questions or make any comments, then I will be repeating the comments to Didi so that she can easily participate in the conversation. So, questions. I've got some questions. I'm just going to read them, and that we can come back to them at some point. So, to what extent So to what extent are we being the samples of the rest, for the rest of humanity, for the world to follow? And is it possible that what's happening in the world, on the world stage, is a gross reflection of what we've not yet been able to master individually and collectively as a spiritual family? I think this last question, I've got other questions, but I just want to stop here because I think I've gone on a bit. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Welcome. We are family, no doubt. And the atmosphere since 1 week, actually, every corner of the kitchen is full. Somewhere mince pies are being baked, sometimes somewhere biscuits are being baked, somewhere toli is being baked, somewhere variety. It is just like feeling it is Christmas, is a birthday of Jesus, or it's a marriage of all of us connected with the Supreme Being. Such a great joy, such a kind of feeling of belonging to each other. And everyone, even the old age or young age, they're dancing. And communication so beautiful, not necessarily they have to speak to each other. When love is there, automatically eyes speak. Mouth does not need to speak, but the joy is expressed from the heart and smile is there. So another aspect is a family, because we spiritually, as you said, religion and spirituality. Religion is established by one of the founder of every religion, the founder. And then certain things, what originally, as you said, there had been set a pattern, and this pattern then continues, and gradually it is just like following one after another, another, and gradually gets mixed up. Their own idea, fresh ideas, their creativity, and they want to present it that we are also doing the same. It's so natural when a big brother would be doing something, or sister, the younger one will try to copy. The younger one will also, if someone is saying mama to her mother, mama, or papa, papa, whatever they call, the elderly is calling, so the young ones are also calling the same. But difference is between, it is just like you are trying to see your face through somebody else's eyes. Of course, mirror is in front of us, but in order to see my face, I need to have the mirror in front of me. And not only that, I need light, sight to see. So we remain close to that what is reality. And that is called spirituality becoming reality in our life. Soul, spirituality is the living lights. As you say, the time of the key word is light. And light is life. So memorial of that is fished everywhere. It's a tree. And tree means the seed is only one. The whole branches, sub-branches of religions are emerged from this seed. So God is the seed of the human world tree, and at the same time, the father of all souls. But how he becomes a human tree? human beings, when they see only in body conscious stage, they naturally try to copy. Religion, we copy each other, or sometimes we compete each other, and sometimes we prove each other that which who is the great one. But when reality is there, that is means spirituality is there. And in body conscious, it is just like a picture we perform, we present. And spirituality is a reality of the values we imbibe. So spirit, spiritual. So gradually when one is following from other, copying either any festival, maybe in Hindi, for Indian, for Diwali or Kanaku, and other religions are there. But it is just like ritual and spiritual. Spirituality means spiritual. Religions means ritual. Spirituality means to see everything with your own experience. Otherwise we are singing the praise of somebody else's experience. Others said this sweet is very sweet. Okay, very sweet. Then we say to other person, this sweet I was told is very sweet. So it is, you cannot taste the sweetness then. You can taste the sweetness when you eat. So individual begins to pay attention on the self. And then many, many this living light are igniting each other. It becomes a tree which is not only just keeping the light up to limited, but it becomes unlimited. So this, what we see now, expansion. But what it is, we start the beginning from the seed. Then to Adam and Eve you can say, Brahma or Saraswati, you can say purity and wisdom. Brahma, Saraswati, this is the two main powers in spirituality. Purity is the mother of peace and happiness. And wisdom is to perform action not with fear, with right understanding, with right consciousness, with the right way. So that becomes that, like spirituality becomes authority. Now family, in fact when we are the creation of the one creator, or children of one, the father of humanity, then gradually the expansion takes place, because the souls that are still waiting to be up there, to stay there, do come down. And then when we include all the religious founders, the whole world becomes a real tree. So what we are not able to fulfill, what God wants is you give the reality to everyone. No one should remain orphan. And connect them with me, but all religion can recognize and realize me, the Supreme Being, and they point out, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one. Up to now many places they say, yes, what you are teaching, my Guruji is teaching the same. My founder of my religion, it is the same, only the words are different. But it's a difference of direct connection or indirect connection. So when spirituality is there, relationship with each other, with the Supreme, is the Supreme. The soul belongs to the Supreme. Supreme enables us to keep our consciousness free, but should be somebody example. So these two leaves that you call it two children, Brahma and Saraswati, these two leaves then, like natural nature, in the nature, seed sprouts, and then these two leaves emerging. Gradually their strength, their spirituality, their reality of purity, love, wisdom, happiness, this all purity, peace, love, happiness and wisdom, truth, becomes a trunk of the tree. And that spirituality, in maybe as time goes on, expands, and the strength still is in the roots. So we become connected with roots again. So this is why what we have to sow, glorify one, glorify God. Then automatically children are also glorified. God wants us to be glorified.
Yes. And I think what I'm trying to explore is just reviewing our role. Are we really being aware of all of the things that you've just said? Are we aware? Are we awake, alive, alert, focused on really being, stepping in their footsteps and carrying that torch and really bringing about world transformation, not just world transformation, but self-transformation followed by world transformation. Sister Jayanti?
I see how all religions have moved away from the seed, whether it was the deity religion, whether it was all the other traditions. And so that word religio, to go back to the origin, to connect with the origin, all religions have forgotten that. And so Baba's incarnation as the seed coming back is to remind us of that. And I think that those who are following a yogic path are reminding themselves of this, that from time to time we forget and we get caught up with other things external. And if we were to keep in our mind this consciousness of who we are, who we belong to, then that is three mantras. Who am I? Who do I belong to? And thirdly, what is it that I need to do? And so I think that Christmas has come as a time to remind all of us of what we need to be doing at this moment. You know how every festival has lost its sacred meaning and has just become caught up in commercialism. And so, and that applies to Diwali as well as Christmas and all the other traditions also. But Christmas is supposed to be a sacred time. You know, we sing Silent Night, but we don't actually experience the Silent Night. And so if we were to really take benefit from that sacred space that Christmas offers, and we come to that awareness of who we are and what it is we need to do, I think we'd be able to help Baba in his task of re-establishing peace in a more powerful way. On the other side, I see that it's a very natural development of the drama. I was reading a Murali this morning, which is about to come later on. And in that, Baba was saying that if you want an end to come, then before the end can come, things have to reach an extreme point. And so I think that's what we're witnessing at the moment. Extreme in all aspects of degradation. And on the other side, Baba's inspiring us to lift us up with purity and peace and the spiritual power, the truth that he's sharing. So it's a reminder for us. It's good that there's 4 days holidays and everybody has a chance to actually not just enjoy, but also go into the deeper awareness of what this time is really all about.
The cycle. We are at, as Jantivan said, that we are at the time of the confluence of extreme darkness. And after the dark night, bright day comes. So now it is the time that we bring this light, lightness and bright consciousness in each individual soul. And that is based when the knowledge is there. Knowledge is light, knowledge is might. And so the soul itself is also light, and God the Supreme is also light. Then this relationship with each other, it becomes real because we are children of the same parents, and so we call it a brotherhood as being souls, creation of the one soul, of the Supreme Soul. But then the qualities that God fills in us, it is knowledge, begins with knowledge. When you know something, you are confident, there's inner security is there, what we are saying. And with knowledge, satisfaction brings peace. Why, what, where is not there, but how it come, how to become peaceful. Messengers have brought messages, but all this is either is love, or it is discipline, or it is silence. Buddha brought silence, Jesus brought love, brought or rekindled, I would say. Moses brought, Abraham brought discipline. So internal discipline and external discipline, yes. That is difference.
Yes. And the question is, to what extent are we doing that? And I think that's my emphasis, that's my focus at the moment. You know, I was thinking about the extent to which we accept our role as the leaders, as the ones who, as I was saying, we cast the die, we took them away from God, and it's time for us to take them back to God. We started everything in the confluence age. Whatever is actually going on in the world at the moment, it feels as if, and you may correct me, Sister Jayanti and Didi, if I'm wrong, but it feels as if, oh my gosh, I'm responsible. I'm responsible for all of those things that I am in judgment of people about. You know, they are doing this, they're killing each other, you know, they're whatever is going on. I'm feeling like disdain sometimes and in judgment. And I'm wondering, to what extent do I need to accept that I played a part at some point around the cycle where I started that? And to what extent do I need to forgive myself? And in that way, I can actually see everyone with eyes of love, no matter what they're doing, no matter how much they've hurt me. Perhaps we need to, you know, in the bereavement process, one goes through all of those different stages of bereavement, grief, and you really only resolve it when you accept. So I'm wondering to what extent it's the same process for us.
Baba's very aware of that. This is why Baba speaks the sort of Murali we heard this morning. This morning's Murali is exactly what you're talking about, to be able to accept each one as they are within the family, and then beyond this family, the unlimited human family also. But it starts here, and of course whatever is going on here starts here. And so yes, I need to remind myself of my role and what it is I need to do to change things within my consciousness. There's a young man who's now, well, I call him young, but he's not so young, he's 40 now. And he's been going to Madhuban and he's been following Brahman principles all the way. And he first went to Madhuban when he was about 10. And he told me that there's one thing that Dada Vishwaratan taught him at that time, his first visit to Madhuban. And Dada said to him, when you look at somebody, don't look anywhere else, just look at the center of their forehead. And he said that I took it seriously as an instruction for myself, for my life. And I've practiced that ever since. And so I see that such a basic thing, but it slips away because maybe it's too simple. And I think that it's this sort of practice. I don't want us to get into the grief of, woe is me, I've done all of this,
yeah,
and the guilt and the burden and so on. I'm looking at ways in which we can move forward. And so, yes, I understand that when Baba became worship worthy, we became the same. When Baba went through the cycle and became a worshipper, we also followed. So, yes, everything you shared was true. But I think at this moment, what am I going to do about it? And I think coming back to that very, very basic idea of just seeing each one as a soul, that shining star, and being able to accept their specialities and different roles, very different to what I'm doing, but whatever their role is, they're playing their role accurately. And so that acceptance that I have today is going to be the preparation for me to then interact with them with that dignity and respect and love, but it will then also extend out further. Mm. And you know how Baba tells us that where does respect begin? It doesn't begin by receiving it or by giving it, but it depends on to what extent I'm able to see myself as that inner being and come to the awareness of my own eternal dignity, connect with my own inner values so that I can truly respect myself. And I don't think anybody can truly respect themselves unless they understand what Baba's saying about knowing your original qualities, your original values, and staying connected with those. Today Baba talking about anger gets dispelled if you remember your own original qualities. And so it applies in a very deep way that when I come back to that real awareness and I practice this, because one moment when I'm reminding myself I'm here, next moment I hear something, I see something, and I'm not here anymore, I'm here. And so it fluctuates from moment to moment. And so this is why Baba uses both expressions. It's an effort to do this. And then it's very simple. So how do you put together this paradox? Because it is the reality that it's very simple. But it also requires constant, constant attention. And so, yes, I think we all need to go back to basic principles and come to the awareness of who I am, what are my original qualities, learn to develop that self-respect. Then in every interaction that I have, I'll be able to give respect to others and treat them with that dignity. Immediate Brahman family or extended human family, it'll be the same.
Would anyone like to add something or, you know, ask a question from the floor? Anyone? No. Okay. So I wanted to share a story, and it happened just a couple of days ago. I was a bit upset because of Marion's passing, and so I was having a conversation with a new warden, and he was a bit abrupt. And so the following day, we were in conversation with myself and him and two other people, And I picked him up on what happened the day before. And I realized, just as I walked away, that I needed to go back to him and just basically say, I'm sorry. I just felt this heaviness there. And it's like Baba was just tapping me on my shoulders and saying, go back. Go back. Or else. I just knew my day would have been really miserable. And so when he was alone, I went back to him and I said, actually, I'm so sorry. I reacted in that way. And it's amazing. You should have seen. He just bloomed like a flower out of, in that minute, in that second, as I said that to him, his body language was speaking in such, you know, with such gratitude, and equally myself. And I was just thinking, is that so easy? It was very easy to do that. And I walked away, I just walked away feeling light, totally, totally light, unencumbered, in terms of getting on with my day. So for me, and actually it wasn't about being right or wrong. It wasn't about whether or not I was right or he was wrong. That was not in the scheme of our dialogue at all. It was simply that there was this soul standing in front of me who felt a bit he felt hurt because of what I said, and I needed to rectify that. I just needed to. So it's just coming back to what you've just said about really respect. And once it's there, then, you know, it's easy.
It's actually self-respect. What I understand, when this kind of situation takes place, and we know that it was not right, you feel that you have lost that, what your aim is. To stay in self-respect means to maintain the respect of my values. And if I am just mixing something or reacting to something, so love is covered with something else, maybe I know better, or I don't like it, or it is some such thing. But then this was the main thing, that you created self-respect in him. His humility is the greatness, and this greatness ignited his light to stay awake, be happy.
Oh, it was it was beautiful just watching him bloom like a flower.
Yeah, this is what Baba says, give respect, receive respect. Yes. Even those who don't respect you, don't demand for that. You are not a beggar.
Yes.
And I am giving you all this kind of respect. And this is why you see, as in religion or spiritual, we put all the gifts at the roots of the tree. Packets are there in the roots of the tree. Lights are on the tree itself. Angel above, right? Star above. But it is connected with our development and our relationship. But it is why we went far away, because our values are used, of course. In family, family means love. Mother means love. Father means protection. Brother means, and sister means joy and playing together, or supporting each other. But we forgot the, or we gradually lost it, in other words. And the quality changed. Love changed into attachment. Self-respect changed into ego. Determination changed into stubbornness. So it was the name, it changed everything. So it just like the water becomes muddy, and then it is not called water. Water is in it, but it's called mud. So it became all thing mixture in us as well. And this is why God has to clean the ideas. He wants to clean our head. And every day in Murli, you can see he emphasizes a topic: misunderstanding, fear, tension, and some kind of respect from human beings. This fear has been, and fear and love, two things do not exist together. And so this is what, but realization is not fear. Realization is joy, because I can understand where I went wrong or what I could not do it, though I know how it should be happened. So forgotten for a short time. So it's a reminder again and again, and the time as well, end of the year and the beginning of year. Diwali is the same, end of the month, November, and this is December. And continues for 6 days more. Don't dismantle the tree for 6 days. Why should we keep it? The sanskaras that we filled in ourselves, the seed that is up on the with the fruit, has become separate from your meat, your flesh and bones, and be like me. So it is his, is really the, now the time that we, as the gentleman said, that it is the soul consciousness, and then we are able to receive the gift that we have to share with others. This is what is still, we need to pay more attention, what to share with others.
Yes. For me, Christmas is really just an indication. It's telling us what we need to do every day.
Mm. Yes.
I want to just go back to your story, Nina.
Yes.
Because there's a very simple law, spiritual law, that says whatever it is I put out, that's what's going to come back to me. And it might happen instantly, as it did in your case, or it might happen after a month, a year, maybe even next birth. It might not even be back to me in this birth. But if I'm putting out thoughts of respect and love and dignity, that's what's going to come back to me. And if I'm putting out anything negative, then that's also coming back to me. And so I think that what's be witnessing in the world today is this action-reaction story. And what Baba's telling us to do is to stop the action-reaction and the reactivity that happens. Something happened a long time ago, maybe it's just my imagination, maybe it's my perception, but I have this negative attitude that I've built up against someone, something, a particular group of people, whatever it may be. And so I see someone, and instead of actually seeing them as a soul or even as a human being, whatever is there within my perception from the past is a trigger, and I react. And I'm not even at that moment aware that I'm reacting. I think my response is right. But it's actually a reaction that has nothing to do with what this individual is about at this moment. I'm not seeing the individual. It's the build-up of stuff inside of me, and I react. And so then what's coming back to me is a mirror in which I'm feeling that anger and unpleasant feelings. So it's so important to just take a pause. I hear something, I see something, instead of reacting, just to take a pause.
You know, Sister Jayanti, I have a tendency to want to protect others whom I feel are subjected to hurt, discrimination, you name it. And that's a difficult one, yeah, because it's really like stepping in front of the person and, you know, being their shield, being their protection. So I'd like some kind of response from either of you about that, because I find that really hard, particularly when I know that I can help.
I'm remembering various times that Baba's spoken about this, and where my reaction is of anger against injustice. And what Baba's telling me is that the injustice is totally wrong, but my response on a human level, just out of anger, is equally wrong. And so my reaction isn't going to change the situation of injustice. So I have to first check what is the response I'm experiencing at this moment. And if it's really very stable state of peace and love and truth, rather than just anger against whatever has happened, then I'm going to be able to bring about something positive in the situation. Otherwise, my reaction isn't going to change it in any positive way. There's a person from South Africa, Namibia actually, with Dadi in a call of time dialogue some years ago. And Dadi was talking about not reacting, not getting angry and things like this. And he said, but it's justifiable. It's absolutely righteous that I should have this anger. Only then am I going to change anything. And that his response was, we've been experiencing these bad things going on, and we've been thinking that it's going to be our anger that can put things right. What's happened? Things have gone from bad to worse. And so there must be another way. And the other way is that I take God's help and first of all stabilize myself so that I'm able to be free from negativity. Then I can do something to help another.
Yes, of course.
And that person is now one of the main instrument teachers in Namibia. So he went through quite a turnaround in his journey.
Lovely.
And the basic thing actually, every day Baba gives us this, every day, maybe in 1 hour, sometimes 50 times, sometimes 20 times, that just remember who you are. Really, truly, am I Sudesh? Why I felt this, but not respect and not because they are looking at my physical costume that I'm wearing. And I am also looking at them, the costume they are wearing. So I'm comparing. Inferiority or superiority conflicts comes whether I am conscious of my form, my physical body, my color, my qualities, my position, my creativity, my social work that I do, or even God's work I'm doing. Even then at that time thinking, they are thinking me about this. So I am thinking, I am keeping this principle in myself, but because others not knowing what is soul and what is body, it is so natural for them to see a body. And body conscious then sees the eyes external. They don't see the diamond in this case. And so when I constantly remember I am flawless, godly diamond, sparkling diamond, living light. So when I begin to see my light and begin to see what God is making me, human opinion, today is some, tomorrow will change. But God's opinion is God's blessings. It is practical guideline. So this is why Baba says, check. Don't just praise your own self. I had 2 hours meditation or I had full day meditation. I can be sitting in meditation, but I'm consciously or unconsciously situations, problem, success, everything is coming to my mind. So I have forgotten I am a diamond. So it is forgetting, it's a game of forgetting or remembering. So other people do not even know. Those who have this consciousness of discrimination, they do not see me as I am, what I am. And I also do not accept them as they are, what they are.
And also they don't see themselves as they are, really.
Right,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Of
because
course.
The inner determines the outer.
That's it.
You know, if I don't see myself as a diamond,
yeah,
I'm not going to see you as a diamond,
yeah,
am I?
Yeah. When I am really, my vision is of soul conscious. What does it mean, vision of soul conscious? It is, you don't see the light here, but you ignite the light. You actually express that light. Knowledge changing into yoga. Yoga purifies my intellect. It becomes free from discrimination. It becomes a detached observer. So it is the quality make change our vision. Godly qualities and knowledge change my attitude. Godly direction that we are one family teaches me to tolerate or have patience. Have patience, they also will come. Maybe I have been blossomed beforehand, but not all fruit become ripe same time. Ripe is number one. The light falls on them, they become sweet, and I have opportunity before they got, I got it first. So then in this way you can see, percentage increases, but first I have to keep this in mind.
So we have 6 minutes, and I want to ask you to end on something really important, because you mentioned it earlier on. I can't remember which of you did, but you were saying about how, you know, people have got together to prepare for Christmas. I was just walking through the dining room in Global House, and I was just absolutely stunned to see the beauty. And I was passing through today as well when people were there putting the tables together, and I've passed through the kitchen downstairs and seen how many people there are cutting vegetables. You know, it's a beehive of activities. And you know, I'm really quite amazed and really see it as an expression of love. An expression of love. So from each of you, I would like you to just basically say what you feel we ought to do to continue this momentum, because it is a momentum that we've built, and it's a momentum that we need to keep, you know, at that level and even move forward in terms of the natural development of the drama that you've mentioned, Sister Jayanti. I mean, I think it's good that we're having these meditation bhatis. I really think it's a good idea. It's a good idea that Jasu's come up with the appreciation game. I don't know where that is, if it's still going. It's good that we do these group connection activities that enable us to really talk to people whom we pass in the corridors, but they never say hello. And coming from the kind of culture that I come from, it doesn't feel right. Yeah? So I would like us to be able to do more informal things where, you know, I can touch base with somebody that I've never spoken to in the 27 years I've been in this house. And that's where, for me, I'd be going deeper as well. Yeah.
I think that the activity appreciation game is one thing, but what we've done this week, a couple of times at least, has been reading the Muralis of 1972, that one particular Murali. And after reading a passage and having some silent time to reflect on that, then to have this one-to-one exchange. And then, as you said, people you've never spoken to before in this house can actually communicate. And it really does show you a different side of their personality. And one of the things that happens is that when you don't know somebody, when you're ignorant about them, then that causes fear. And when you get to know them and you can see that you're both traveling on the same journey, you're both moving to the same destination, then it changes to love. And so I think that that's been an excellent thing that's happened this week. And I hope that we continue, whether it's an international program or not, this happened to be part of the international program, but we can create our own program for our own spiritual journey. And I think that will be very, very important to, as you said, keep the momentum, because whether it's Diwali and the preparation for Diwali or whether it's Christmas and the preparation for Christmas, that high energy is always there. Then on the day of the festival, it's very, very beautiful and everybody just comes together and shares so much. But then after that, people are a little bit exhausted and so they take time off. And the energy goes back to the usual. So I think that if we don't exhaust ourselves too much and we keep our time for spiritual awareness and study and silence, and then we keep the communication going on a spiritual level, that's going to change things.
Another concept, basic, one God, one God, one world, one family. That one bringing, three bringing together is success. So it again comes to me in this aspect. Each one of us have to work on our own selves. And when the light is lit, a candle is lit, the wax melts itself. Candle is up above, but with the looking down. So let me, this light lit, this is how much is that I am keeping myself safe from the storms that are from there.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister James. Thank you. Yes, I think we have one other item. Preeti, you're going to be doing a reflection where we'll be getting together and sharing. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Om Shanti, everyone, and so good to be here with all of y'all and with our sweet deities here. So, maybe request our divine deities to please descend from the stage so that you can participate with all of us on the common ground.